Good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church on another beautiful and warm summer morning. And yes, please do use these fans that we've provided with also the order of service in here. We're so glad you're here this morning, and we especially welcome those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time or for the first time in a while. And we invite all of you to fill out the connection cards that you can find in your bulletin, that you can put those in the offering plate later this morning. I want to say some special words of welcome this morning, and also we have condolences to offer. We have had a number of losses in our church family lately. I want to say welcome to the Suits family, and we're so sorry for your loss. This afternoon we have a memorial service for Jerry Suits, right here in this space at 1 o'clock, and a reception following. Also want to say welcome to Dan McCullough and family. It's so good to see you, and we are so sorry for your loss as well. We will have a memorial service for Ola Jean McCullough tomorrow morning here at 10:30. Visitation is right before that at 9:30, and there will be a luncheon following that. Also, the Rayner family has suffered a loss recently as well. Karen's brother, Kenneth, passed away earlier this month, and we're so sorry for your loss. And his memorial service will be this Thursday, 7 p.m. at Cherry Hill Baptist Church in Dearborn. There are a number of announcements related to congregational life that you can find in your bulletin. Where is she? A happy thing in the church family today is Marlene Francis's birthday. Happy birthday to you. And we love you. Also, there's one announcement in your bulletin I would like to highlight. Something I think you all know is that the art fairs are coming to town very soon. They begin on Thursday and go through Sunday, but our parking lot and our parking situation will be impacted starting on Tuesday when the artists begin to arrive, because we have parking in our lot, especially for artists in the fair. This is a fundraiser for two important causes in our church. One is our Vespers ministry to feed the hungry and the homeless, and the other purpose of the funds that we raise is for our youth mission trips. So if one or both of those causes mean something to you, and I hope that they both do, they're both very important causes in the life of our church, I hope that you will consider taking a volunteer shift to help with the art fair parking, because we still have some shifts left. We have two shifts left next Saturday and two for next Sunday. And we also need someone next Sunday morning from about 9:15 to 10:15 to stand across the street at the parking garage and make sure that everyone coming to church here has a voucher on their way in. Now, if you already know that you're going to be here next Sunday, and we hope that you are, you can pick up a voucher on your way out this morning at the information counter. But we also need someone handing out vouchers to people who may be here next Sunday who were not here today or previous Sundays to pick up a voucher. So if you can help with any of that, please see Sue Ellen at the information counter, or you can talk with me as well. And if you're in town, please come to church next Sunday. You do not need to be deterred by all the art and all the artists and all the traffic, because it will still be Sunday and it will still be a good day to be together. And if you come to church and you park across the street for church, which is free, you can then leave your car there after church and go enjoy the art fair, and you don't have to pay for parking. It's a win, 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 win. And now, we are here to seek God, who has already sought us and called us and claimed us. So now we get to respond with hearts and lives and voices. So let us worship with joy.
Please stand as you are able. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are always with us. Help us hear your voice today as we worship. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. The earth is the Lord and all that is in it. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in God's holy place? Receive blessing from the Lord and vindicate from God who saves them.
Such is the name of those who look forward to see the face of God.
Now we listen to a story from the book of 2 Samuel about David, the king, as he and a great multitude of people brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. David returned to bless his household, but Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servant maids, as any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me in place of your father and all his household to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, that I danced before the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Loving God, you are our light and our life. You are our joy and our hope. You are amazing grace. And you know us. You know our hearts and our lives better than we know ourselves. You know our needs and our desires before we even ask. Even so, we need to lift our prayers to you. Our world hurts, and we hurt for it. We grieve all manifestations of cruelty, hatred, evil, and deception. And we pray for all those in any kind of pain today, that they would know your loving care. We pray for our nation, and we pray for your church in all places, that in the face of our country's seeming addiction to division and incivility and violence, you would grant us, your people, the wisdom to understand what can and must change, and the courage and the will to do what can and must be done. Make us faithful followers of your Prince of Peace. We pray special prayers for Nicaragua and for our mission partner there, Amos Health and Hope, and for all our friends at Amos and in the communities they work with. Please work your justice and bring your peace in that country. As we yearn for peace, so we also yearn for healing and comfort for those we know who have special need of your tenderness right now. We pray for the family and friends of Jerry Suits, for the family and friends of Kenneth Brummett, and for the family and friends of Ola Jean McCullough. And we also pray for Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Liz and Micah Dalton, Peter Mortensen, Robert L., Saw Nay Lin, for Jim Terrace, for Valerie Nebbia, David, Rachel V., and Kate A., for Charlene, Lynn, and Katie, for Pat Murphy, for Lynn Blunt, for Dixie Stafford, Janet and Martha, for the family of Bill Darwin, and for Wyatt Upchurch. We also lift our private prayers to you in silence now. Gracious God, you are closer to us than we know, and you are ready to do more in and through our lives than we can ask or imagine. Help us to yield to your grace and allow your power to work through us to do more good than we yet believe can be done. It is in that wild hope that we pray, in the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
A reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Okay. Praise God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, for the spiritual blessing that Christ has brought us from heaven. Before the world was created, God had Christ choose us to live with him and to be his holy and innocent and loving people. God was kind and decided that Christ would choose us to be God's own adopted children. God was very kind to us because of this, of the Son he dearly loves, and we should praise God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I would like to invite the children up for the time of the children.
Pastor Stacy just prayed for our friends in Nicaragua, and that's another country. And you know what? There was a group of people who went there recently from our church, and one of our favorite things we did together was dance. We had a dance party, and we had so much fun. Now, I have to tell you a little bit about how to have fun while dancing. If you're in Nicaragua and you're doing a dance like the bachata, it's helpful to know who the leader is. Because if you start a dance not knowing who the leader is, Emmanuel and I are going to show you what happens.
If you're dancing, and you don't know who the leader is,
what happens? Uh-oh, you step on somebody's toes. That's not fun dancing. You gotta know who the leader is. And so today we're about to sing a song about who our leader is and who our leader is in the dance. That Jesus is the leader. And so we're gonna learn some movement to the refrain of that song, and then we're gonna dance that around the sanctuary while we sing the song, remembering that Jesus is the one who leads us. So the song, congregation, if you want to look in your hymnal, you can see what song is coming up. And I'm going to teach some movement to the refrain.
So, Kills, can you stand up on your feet? Please, me. We're going to do our arms really big. We're going to say, dance, then, wherever you may be, wherever you are. Dance, then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord. Remember the song, Show Lord? I am the Lord of the dance, said He. And I'll lead you.
Let us pray. And so may it be in our hearts as we hear in these faltering words your Spirit's living word to awaken us to our great purpose and in faithfulness to live it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Several weeks ago, at the end of a worship service, I messed up the benediction. It was in the Easter season, and I love the words that Stacy and I get to say during those weeks of Easter as we go walking up the aisle. And my favorite line, and I'm the one who gets to say it, is this: in every opportunity for love, be extravagant. But on that particular day, for some reason, I just blurted it out ahead of schedule. I had said my line, "Leave this place more alive than you've been." It was her time to say, "In every form of death, be fearless." But before she could get out two syllables, without even knowing it, I just butted in. "In every opportunity for love, be extravagant." She cut her eyes to me like, "What are you doing?" And people laughed. And then I did something, almost not knowing that I was doing it. I twirled like Julie Andrews at the start of The Sound of Music in the Hill. And I don't know why I did that. Maybe it was something like, "Clearly, people, I'm a fool. Now watch me just spin around in a circle." Maybe it was more to myself. "You messed up, and it doesn't matter at all. It's joyous. We're laughing. It's Easter." A far bigger piece of something far bigger than that happened one day stupendously in King David. He was at the front of this great procession of people bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem. You know the Ark of the Covenant, if not from the Bible, then from Indiana Jones. This big gold-covered chest containing the original tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments, a jar of manna, the rod of Aaron, all artifacts of God setting people free from slavery and leading them through a difficult time. The former slaves had carried it through the wilderness toward promised land, and they had seen it always as the very center of God's presence with them. And now David is bringing this great vessel of liberation memories and powerful presence into the city where the temple will be built. And as the great parade enters the city, David the king begins to dance. And the dance, by all indication, was frenzied and ecstatic and wild. He'd made sure musicians were there, harps, horns, lutes, tambourines, cymbals. The music was joyous. People were shouting, singing, clapping hands, and there at the head of them all was the king, high-stepping and leaping and whirling. The text says he danced before the Lord with all his might. Was it pretty? Well, the man was about 40 years old. And I doubt he had rehearsed. More notable is what he was wearing. A linen ephod, it was called. Like we know what an ephod is. But what an ephod was the top part of what the priests were to wear, a kind of apron thing tied in the back, the closest modern equivalent I can think of is a hospital gown, much nicer, but it covers mostly, but not fantastically. And David was leaping and whirling and dancing with all his might. Was it pretty? His wife did not think so. For me, this text serves as a kind of invitation. Not to boogie, though if you would decide to get up and dance right now, I guess I wouldn't stop you. I might warn you about heat stroke. It is an invitation, I think, to consider at least getting freer and more expressively inwardly, and sometimes more expressive outwardly with our love, to be less measured people, less cautious and timid in how we offer ourselves to God, how we offer ourselves to the world, to live in freer spirit of trust, more generous and joyous of heart, cut loose. I want to pause and make clear that this actually may not be at the top of the list of what is needed from us by the world or by God. The most crucial thing these days and always is a need for ordinary faithfulness. Steady, consistent, ongoing deeds of love and devotion. That means rock solid commitment no matter what, doing what's right. That involves attention to detail. It takes endurance and it requires real courage. It's its own form of dancing. But it doesn't seem to connect with the extravagance and exuberance of love and praise that the dance of David seems to invite us to consider. And yet, what is life in Christ if not an extravagance? We have been found and set free by an opulence of grace, by great excesses of mercy. We are all inordinately loved. It was infinite love that created us and showed us a way to live. It was infinite love that bore all our grief and our pain and our sin and died for us and raised us up to freely be reconciled in our living to God and to each other and fully reconciled to ourselves. Infinite love has crowned us to be the very daughters and sons of God, alive in the everlasting Spirit. If we are living in that great light, how can we not live, love, praise, pray, serve with abandon, even our sorrows and our struggles, a kind of dance with all our might before the Lord? True as that may be, expect some voices to say, no, 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 no. Expect a critic. For David, it was the voice of Michal, one of his wives, the daughter of the previous king. From an upper room, she watches David dance and despises him for it. When he comes home, she says, what a spectacle you have made. Uncovering yourself before the servant girls to see. And in fact, she's got reason to be ticked off at this man. He's always used her politically. He's taken other women. He's never loved her really well, so I will not judge her for disliking how he danced. In her eyes, I'm certain it was in a continuity with his inclination to love the limelight. But in her voice, I recognize an inner voice in me. Maybe it's one of your inner voices too. That piece of yourself that sits up in the window of your mind as a critic of your inclination, if it ever comes, to abandon yourself in faith and in love. You want to give a big gift, and it says, we can't afford that. You want to volunteer energy and time serving others, and this voice says, it'll make us tired. Something in you says, I think it's time to get over this grudge and to forgive, and it says, but you've been hurt and they won't change. You want to try something new and creative with your gifts, and it says you're not that good. Something in you has the urge suddenly to pray with all your heart, every feeling and thought and hurt and hope you have unchecked, free, poured out, and this voice says, that is not you. Aren't you embarrassed? This is the part of us that will not dance. It watches from on high, tells us how others are looking and what our righteous selves might think, and insinuates the scariest accusation. You look like a fool. Maybe our reply can be like David's, who said to his critic, it is before the Lord that I dance. Meaning, this is not about how I look in anybody's eyes, including my own. This is for my Maker. This is for my only love, the one who makes us all free to lose ourselves, to adore, to praise, to give, to struggle, to trust, to sing, to pray, to love, dance with all our might before God. In the original Hebrew language of the text, what David literally says to his critic is this: I will play before the Lord. Sounds like a child of God who has not forgotten that to be a child of God is to be as beautifully free in spirit as a child can be. On an Easter Sunday many years ago, at the end of the service, the whole congregation stood and sang the Hallelujah Chorus as we do here on Easter Sunday morning. I was standing at the front pew, doing my best to sing with everybody else, when suddenly from behind me, I heard an unmistakable sound, the sound of little feet dancing. It was Emily, aged 5. Her mother and her stepfather had been baptized that morning, and now with the brightest eyes and the happiest face, God bless her, she was tap dancing on the pew. And to this day, I wish I had turned around and joined her. More than that, I wish for a life and for a faith and for a love that looks more like that. Cut loose. And you? Do you think it just might be a good thing if your faith and your love were less guarded, less measured, cautious, timid? I think of the sad confession from T.S. Eliot. I have known the evenings, mornings, afternoons. I have measured out my life with coffee spoons. How terribly sad to have a life abounding in blessing and to be a specialist in holding back your heart, your resources, your compassion, your prayers, your capacities for joy. Would anyone who knows you have reason to call you extravagant in love? In what new way might it really be time now for your gratitude, your love, your joy, to be like David and dance before the Lord with all your might? They called Jesus the Son of David. He too had critics for how free he was, the scandalous reach of his welcome, the startling generosities in what he gave, the beauty even in his wrath, his profusions of gladness in God and in God's children and in God's world. You know, don't you, that he went to celebrations like weddings where everybody danced together. Don't you know he took the hands of sinners and of children and of anyone who would, and danced with God as he danced with them. And still he comes, the Lord of the dance, and says to you, to me, follow me. Follow me into this joy, into this freedom. Take my hand.
Amen.
Now, O God, may your everlasting joy find its new home in our living and in our giving. We worship you with our gift.
Thank you.
God, all our praise, all our thanks, all our adoration and love, all that we have to offer, all that we can be, we offer into your eternal purpose. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Happily then, and reconciled to God and to each other and to ourselves, let us greet one another with the best of gifts. The peace of Christ be with you.
Grace.